Our first scripture lesson today is from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 2, verses 4 through 13. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the families of the house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, what wrong did your ancestors find in me that they went far from me and went after worthless things and became worthless themselves? They did not say, where is the Lord who brought us up from the land of Egypt, who led us in the wilderness, in a land of deserts and pits, in a land of drought and deep darkness, in a land that no one passes through, where no one lives. I brought you into a plentiful land to eat its fruits and its good things. But when you entered, you defiled my land and made my heritage an abomination. The priest did not say, where is the Lord? Those who handle the law did not know me. The rulers transgressed against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal and went after things that do not profit. Therefore, once more I accuse you, says the Lord, and I accuse your children's children. Cross to the coast of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and examine with care. See if there has ever been such a thing. Has a nation changed its gods, even though there are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for something that does not profit. Be appalled, O heavens, at this. Be shocked. Be utterly desolate, says the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and dug out cisterns for themselves, cracked cisterns that can hold no water. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Rosemary, Gabe, Betty. Thank you very much. It's good to be back in the sanctuary, isn't it? Yeah. Our second scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Luke. I'll be reading from the 14th chapter. I'll read the first verse of that chapter, and then we'll go down to verse 7 and read through 14. So let us listen for God's word from the Gospel of Luke. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guest chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor, in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come to you and say, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the tables with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. And he said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. For you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. For the word in creation, and for the word in scripture, and for the word within us. Thanks be to God. And the seasons, they go round and round. And the painted ponies go up and down. We're captive on a carousel of time. We can't return, we can only look behind from where they came, and go round and round and round in a circle game. Another Labor Day weekend, another summer come and gone, another football season, another hurricane, another man with a gun killing innocent people. Another Sunday, another sermon, another communion. Back in the sanctuary. Same pews. Same people in the same seats. We are, or are we, as Joni Mitchell says, captive on a carousel of time, or can we escape this cyclical captivity? We're not sure who said it first, because the quote itself has been recycled so many times and attributed to so many different people, but the truth of the statement is still with us. The definition of insanity is doing something over and over again and expecting different results. And in many ways, that's what today's readings tell us. These readings from Jeremiah and Jesus, they challenge us to get off of the merry-go-round and to do something different. To turn things upside down. Jeremiah tells the people of Israel, you must change your ways. You must do something different. If you keep going down the same road and doing the same things, you will get the same results. And that's leading you to a place you don't want to go. It's leading you to a place, as Jeremiah uses the metaphor, where the cisterns that you have dug are cracked. The life-giving water is leaking out. And Jesus tells us in these parables of the banquet, he tells us, you have to turn things around. If you keep insisting on being first, if you keep insisting on being great, if you keep insisting on the place of honor, you will reap the benefits of that. Jesus says you must turn things around. Serve the poor, the captive, the hungry. These are the people invited to the banquet because they can't repay you. You will be repaid by the grace of God. But what do? When we make our invitation list, when we talk about outreach, we want the people in the community who are revered and respected. That usually translates into, we want people just like us. But Jesus says, no. When you have a banquet, when you invite people, you are to look for people who are not like you. So how do we do this? How do we take these words of Jeremiah and these parables of Jesus and apply them to our lives? How do we get off of the merry-go-round? We have several opportunities here in our congregation, in our community of faith, to begin working toward that. This fall, we have three succinct ways that you can participate, that you can try to get off of the merry-go-round of just doing the same things over and over again. One of the ways is our session has challenged the entire congregation to a 21-day racial justice challenge. This is part of the Matthew 25 incentive that our congregation is participating in. And in this 21-day challenge, there's something to do each and every day for the next 20 days. The challenge started this morning. If you want to know more about this, I encourage you to go to our church website. All it takes is just a few clicks, and it will take you to the schedule of what to do on each day of the next 21 days. It's do a reading. It's watch a video. It's take a test. It's designed to open us up, open our minds, open our awareness to the racial injustices that are in our culture and in which we participate. This is one way. This is a step that we as a congregation can take to begin becoming aware of the world around us. Another way is at the end of this 21 days, on September the 21st, our church is hosting a community event. This community event is called Voices for Peace. Our music director, Rosemary Collins, is working in the community right now, talking with different choral groups, different musical groups. And my understanding is we have four groups for sure, with another five or so on the edge of participating in this program to celebrate the International Day of Peace. We are inviting musical groups from all different traditions as well as faith leaders. I had conversations this past week with a rabbi in a Jewish community at Beth Shalom. Hopefully we will have them participating. It's one of their high holy days, and so the rabbis can't come, but they're trying to get one of their congregational leaders to participate. I spoke with the imam at the mosque in Dunedin. He's very excited about participating in this program personally and people in his community. I spoke with the leader at the Baha'i Temple on Gulf Dubai Boulevard. Very excited about participating in this. We have Episcopalians. We have Presbyterians. We have Baptists. And we're reaching out to the Lutherans and the Unitarians and the Buddhists. Our goal is to bring an interfaith, intercultural community together in this sanctuary and celebrate the hope for peace. A third way that we can begin to do something different is I encourage you to become involved in the Wednesday night study. From this Wednesday until the Wednesday before Christmas, this will go the entire fall, we will be studying this book, The Universal Christ. And this book is an invitation to all of us to begin imagining different ways of experiencing the presence of Christ in our lives, in the world, and in all of creation. All of these things right here in our congregation. Invite us to think differently, to act differently, to interact with people who are different from us. And I know we have a lot of people who join our worship service on Facebook Live. Some of you may not even realize that. I know some of you do, because when you're on vacation or you're out of town, you join us in worship on Facebook Live. We have some people who are regular attenders of our worship as far away as Tacoma, Washington. We invite people who participate by Facebook to also participate in these activities. You can go to our website. You can do the 21-day racial justice challenge. You can join us on September the 21st, because we will have a live feed of that event on our Facebook. You can also begin to read the book, The Universal Christ, and for yourself discover different ways of experiencing the presence of God in your life. I often hear from some people in our congregation, I didn't leave the sermon with anything concrete. Well, I've just given you three pretty good concrete things that you can get involved in, that you can engage. And I encourage you to do this. Because as we do these three things, we will begin to understand not only ourselves and the world around us, but we will begin to understand our own neighborhood better. And in understanding our own neighborhood, we can begin to become the neighborhood church that this church started out being. You know, if we look at the history of our congregation, Trinity Presbyterian Church started out as a neighborhood church. This congregation started worshiping in the Skycrest Elementary School. It was begun by people who lived in this neighborhood and adjacent surrounding neighborhoods. Now, through the years, The neighborhood has changed. But perhaps God is calling us back to our roots, to become a neighborhood church again. What would it look like to again be a neighborhood congregation, serving the people closest to us while also reaching out beyond? My friends, we are being called, as we always are by Scripture, to do things differently, to repent, to change our ways, because if you just keep doing the same thing over and over and over again, we will remain captive on a carousel of time. Amen. Let us go from this place this morning knowing that we have been called. We have been called by the mere fact of our existence into the community of creation. We have been called to participate in the presence of Christ and to live that presence as we live. And we've been reminded of that today in a crust of bread and a small cup of juice. We have been reminded of who we are. And now it is ours to go out and live it. Go in peace. Amen.